This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network. Parental discretion is advised.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be your dirty little secret. Welcome to the Fantasy Football Goon Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Mandel, the Goon. Joining me, as always, is my co-host, John Santucci, the Tooch, and a very special guest, Jeff Schwartz. Spaceball is with us. Jeff, how are you, my friend?
Hello, everybody. Isn't it great? How many kids do we have, the three of us together? We have Tooch, the Goon, and Spaceball. Really proud parents, aren't we? Through our season. Yep. I'm getting excited, boys. I'm getting excited.
Well, I think everyone's getting excited. Football season is just about here. We're getting through the rest of the preseason, and you know what that means. It means it's pretty much draft time for everybody out there in the world, and we got to get you guys ready for that. So we're going to give you all the draft tips, tricks, and strategies you need to draft the perfect team. Is it possible, Tooch, the perfect team?
I don't know. I have my guys I'm going to target, but this coming weekend, Joe, is the most popular draft weekend in fantasy football right now. This is the weekend. I think I've got two. We've got the Barroom League and we've got the Goon League.
Yes. We sure do. The Barroom League on Sunday.
Thanks for not inviting me into the Goon League.
You're always welcome to join, Jeff. It's the bigger money. It's the bigger.
I have Aldo put up like $25, and I'll give it to him when I see him.
Well, the Bears Barroom one's a little bit of the lower pot. The Goon League is the $125 entry. So that's the fun.
How many teams?
It's a 10-man league right now.
Okay, if you have room in there, I'll do that one. If you have, because I will tell you, and I'll start the show off with a bang. I think in doing my homework to prepare, 14-man league is probably too many.
14's tough.
14 teams, I think, are too many. I like 10 or worst case scenario, 12, but 14, by the time you get into the third round, you start getting bored.
Well,
because of the players you're looking at. Unless your name is Tooch, and he knows he's going to win and have a perfect season. So I'll shut up, but I am interested in the 10 man.
All right, well, we'll see what we can do there. But
okay,
draft strategy, gentlemen, it's one of those things that everyone asks me about, right? What do you do in the first round? Do you take a running back? Do you take a quarterback? Do you take a wide receiver? Do you take one of the top tight ends? And I think everyone has a different answer. But for me, guys, it's going with the positions of scarcity, right? So for me, two of the thinnest positions in football, and you guys can correct me if you think I'm wrong, are running back and tight end. So for me, that's where you got to go. Obviously, if you're somewhere in the middle of the pack and all the top running backs are gone, I have no problem taking a wide receiver, especially a top-tier guy like a DeAndre Hopkins or a Devontae Adams. But for me, I love to go running back first. Spaceball, what do you usually do in your draft?
You know, the way I was brought up, way, way back when you guys were figments of your parents' imagination, it was always way back when in the mid-90s, early 90s, QBs. You know, you were able to take Montana, Elway. It was that. And then as it progressed, it was always the running back. And then the NFL became wide receiver friendly, but the running backs list even shrunk more. And I still think I'm a running back guy, till I'm blue in the face. If I could take a running back in the first three rounds, I will be very, very happy.
Amen to that. And Tooch, what is your first round strategy?
Well, like I said before, if target those running backs early and often throughout the first six rounds, I'd say they come off the board so fast, Joe. They're the scarcest, you know. You can wait on tight end. I think you can get good tight ends, you know, later on, sixth round. The top tight ends are going to be tempting for people, but you have to think, you know, do you want tight end that early, or are you going to go for some running back depth? Because running backs do, they're scarce.
Right. So, yeah, and we might have extra scarcity. We might have, and our audience listening to us, listening right now, if Sunday comes, guys, and Ezekiel Elliott and the idiot from here in San Diego.
Melvin Gordon.
Gordon. I've never liked Melvin Gordon, and, you know, I can't say, okay, the original question I was going to ask, if they're not signed Sunday night and you have a draft Sunday night and we have our draft Sunday night,
we do.
Where do you take Elliott specifically?
It's a tough one, man. I think he's going to play this year, but I just don't know if it's for the Cowboys, right? And you don't really know where where he's going to land if he goes to another team. So if I'm taking Zeke, I'm not comfortable taking him in the first round. If he falls to the
table. Well, he won't be there in the second round. So you're telling, do you think, let's use our league as an example, 14 teams.
Sure.
Do you think he's taken, and everything remains the same right now, he's upset because Jerry Jones made a joke and everything else, his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, upset. Where do you think you would take Zeke Elliott? In our draft Sunday night.
If in a 14-man league, I'm not taking him in the first round if he's not signed.
Wow. Tooch?
Well, it depends on where he falls to. I think I might take a gamble on him. I think he's going to sign. It's Melvin Gordon that I'm worried about. But Zeke,
right.
I think,
and
will sign.
And he's not that good to begin with. Okay, Tooch, let's say you have the 13th pick in the first round.
Oh, yeah.
Do you take him?
I'm grabbing him for sure.
Yeah, and I did that last year, guys, with Le'Veon Bell. Did he screw me? Yeah. I mean, these athletes are getting stupider and stupider. You know, where do you take Antonio Brown if he's still not in camp?
Well, he practiced today.
Okay, with a helmet?
Did he practice with a helmet. Yes, he did.
Wait, did he practice with a new helmet or his old helmet?
From what I understand from John Gruden's press conference, it's with the new helmet.
Okay. All right. Well, then that helps.
There's just some players that are going to be off my board, you know, and Antonio Brown could, you know, implode and leave the team for no reason. Andrew Luck's got the injury.
Yes,
Gordon
and
Elliott are holding
out. Antonio Brown is a player I don't trust. I still don't know why he left Pittsburgh. Does he forget what it's like to have Ben Roethlisberger could have his eyes closed and hit him?
It's true.
Derek Carr doesn't have that kind of arm. Derek Carr does not have an arm for Antonio Brown like Roethlisberger did.
No, he doesn't, but I guess we'll have to find that out the hard way this season, especially people that draft him too early. I mean, I have him ranked at number 5 at wide receiver. I think he's going to perform, but I still like him better towards the tail end of the second round, and I have a feeling people are going to grasp for him a little too early this year.
Hey, Joe, do you know which team threw the ball the most last season?
Was it the Kansas City?
I'm going to go with the Oakland Raiders, John.
It was the Steelers with 670 passing attempts. Nobody else was close. Tom Brady had 602. Aaron Rodgers, 597. Steelers.
And he caught over
100
last year, right? And he caught over 100.
Yep.
And I mean, you know, it's the chicken egg theory. What came first? Does a quarterback make a receiver? Does a receiver make a quarterback? I think it's a combination of both, but the receiver has to be that good. And I think Antonio Brown is always, if he was doing this about the helmet. If he's not, he have his old helmet. He's going to come out, say, I thought I heard something when the guy hit me in my head, you know, and everything else. He's a head case. And, you know, they should check for concussions right now. There's a lot of head cases in this league, and it's interesting. Yeah, for our followers, the NBA, this is the first time when their season starts in October that there's not a clear-cut winner in the last 4 or 5 years like there was for Golden State.
Right.
I'm telling you, there is not a clear-cut 2 through 5. I assume everybody would have Barkley as number one. I assumed it going
in. I would agree with that.
And I'm giving it to him. But there's no – if you stop 10 people and said, give me 2 through 5, I think you'll have 8 different answers out of 10.
I'm with you there. I think the only person we could probably agree on is number 2, and I think that's Christian McCaffrey.
Or if Ezekiel Elliott – if Elliott signs tomorrow, is he number 2?
Yes.
I don't know.
I agree.
I think I still got Zeke at 3 if that's the case. I like McCaffrey better this year. I don't know why. And you got Kamara. You can't forget about Kamara.
Okay, but we're talking about people. This is what's going to make this draft so great, et cetera, for all those people, for the 3 of us. We're talking about people. Kamara, he still always had another guy behind him and everything else. I love Alvin, but I don't love him as my top. I'd probably take, believe it or not, I'd take Johnson ahead of him. And I hate to say this, David Johnson, I hate to say this, I'd take Le'Veon Bell ahead of him. And we haven't seen Bell play one down.
This is true.
And you're not going to either. You know, why do they have preseason games if they don't want to get them hurt?
Yeah, they got the preseason's too long, and it's pointless.
Well, you see what they want to do. They want to add one more team or two more teams to the playoffs and drop preseason from 4 to 3.
Yeah, or 4 to 2, and then make an 18-game schedule. That's been talked about.
You know,
the players' union will never agree to it.
Right. When I was younger.
Unless the salary
like
cap expands.
But when I was young and I used to host a fantasy football show back in the 90s on The Score in Chicago, I used to say one thing you'll never hear me say in case of injury. Because everybody can – one play, you're done. I mean, and so you can't say that you can't go, the guy's injury prone. Look at Luck last year. Look at the great season he had, and now he's coming and he's hurt. I can't understand it. I can't understand. I can't wait till the draft. I can't wait till next week's show. Can we talk about our draft at next week's show?
Yes, we can. That's it's going to be that's what we're going to talk about next week, and then final thoughts before week one. So. Lots to talk about. It's going to be fun, man. And excuse me. So we talked about our first round strategies, guys. You know, second round, it's a turning point, right? And it depends kind of which pick you have. If you got the snake draft, if you come back around, you know, you kind of set yourself up for success. This is the year that, and Tuch and I talked about this, Jeff. It's the year that you want that snake pick. You want the 10th pick so you can get 10 and 11. Oh,
when I would sometimes have one, I would be so bored sitting there for my second pick because it would take probably 20 minutes to come back to me. I would love to trade one for the last pick, especially this year when I'm looking at the list. You guys are probably on a different one, but for conversation purposes, I pulled up ESPN came out with a ranking today of the top 192 players. And, yes, it starts off with Saquon at number 1, McCaffrey number 2, Kamara number 3. But what's interesting is if you go down all the way, think about this for a second, and this is why I'm doing this exercise. You go all the way down to number 44, and that would be what the third round for us. No, the fourth round.
Yeah, fourth round.
Yeah. Damian Williams, who if it was a different running back, he'd be so much higher because nobody thinks that he's going to keep his job. He was a damn good running back for the Chiefs last year.
He's damn good, and I have him ranked very highly on my personal rankings.
Do you have him this? Yeah, go ahead.
Let me see where I have him. I got to pull up my website really quick.
Whoa. Weren't there kids in the room before? Or was that Tooch?
You have him at number 7, Joe.
I have him ranked at number 7 at running back, so I'm high on Damian Williams this year.
Okay, I'd have to look and see. This is, I have all the players combined. And with the 192, the way they do it, it's all the players combined except the last two or whatever the bunch is, the numbers are defensive teams and kickers. That's how they have it. Actually, they have Patrick Mahomes, the number 43rd player. Would you guys rather have me go into positionals to make it easier?
Yeah, you know, I'm just curious how you usually approach your second round and kind of, yeah, positionals I think is a good way to handle it.
You know what I do? I've stopped. When my parents, when I was in high school, and I used to say it to my daughter growing up, don't do as I do as I say. When I was in high school, my mother would walk in, what, do you have homework? And I'd say, yeah, I'm reading. I jump up off the bed, right? But the book was upside down on my face. I was reading. I don't like to do, thank you. I don't like to do a lot of homework, especially something like this that's fun. I am instant. That's why I asked you how much time, a minute and a half. That's fine because you see these rankings and, you know, you have them in your mind. Your first four rounds in a 14-man league, I think I know my 14th. I don't think I'll know my 15th player. I do not think I'll know my fifth round player in a 14-man league.
Well,
I really don't.
It's going to be interesting. It's a first time for me as well, and I think
excited.
I'm excited about it too. It's gonna.
I never did it. It's a challenge.
Oh, I am so psyched about it. It's unbelievable because, and I do think, you know, here we go. Okay, so where did you have? Who were we talking about?
Damian Williams.
What running back was it? Damian Williams on ESPN's. Damian Williams is 21.
Yep, I have him at 7.
And you had him at 7. They have Todd Gurley at 7. I find this interesting. This is probably the god of the god. What's his name? Barry, that did this. Using what he has here, I'll tell you, I'm shocked. A sleeper that I have that I love going into this, and I write a sleeper league. Like if I get stuck when it's my turn for that minute and a half and I don't like the names, I'll go into somebody. Like I want to see on here, where can I steal Josh Jacobs, the rookie for the Raiders? I want him so bad it's unbelievable. I mean, I was thinking if I had the 14th pick, I might take Josh Jacobs. Actually, they have Josh Jacobs as – the 16th running back. Where do you have Josh Jacobs, Joe?
Let me pull it back up again. I just closed out of it. 1 second.
12. I think I printed it out. I got 12. But
you got it in front of you,
too? Changed it since I've
been... Nope, I have not touched it.
Yeah. Okay, 12. You have him down from my printout.
Okay.
So, but, I mean, you can get him in the second or third round.
Now, I was in Canada last week, boys, so I didn't hear you. And it was the quarterback show, if I'm correct. I assume Mahomes was the first quarterback.
He was. Thought. Yep, you got it.
Curiosity, though. Who was second?
It was Deshaun Watson.
When you're ready for a quarterback, who was it?
I took Deshaun Watson second.
Yeah. Okay, Deshaun second on ESPN's, too.
So, yeah, my quarterback rankings, I've got Mahomes, Watson. I have Andrew Luck at 3. Now, obviously, this is contingent on the fact that he actually starts the season.
They have him as 8.
I got Baker Mayfield at 4. I'm really high on him going into the season. And Drew Brees at 5 to round out my top 5. So I like all 5 of those guys. And that brings me to another important point, guys. Quarterback is really deep. You can go really far into a draft.
Sure is.
And get a quarterback. Right. I did a mock draft in a 12-team league yesterday, and I got Baker Mayfield in what round? The 7th round.
Wow. 7th in a 12-man league?
Yep.
Wow, Baker Mayfield. Well, Baker Mayfield here is the 87th player taken. So in a 12-man league. Okay.
That's like seventh round.
I love Baker Mayfield, but I want, if I have to, my backup quarterback will be Daniel Jones from the Giants because they're such good friends.
Yeah, did you guys see that article in GQ today?
Why would Baker Mayfield even do that? Because he's a punk, and that's why I love him. He put down Jones on how he shouldn't have been drafted, that he was only 13-12 in two seasons.
Yeah, he had a losing record in college. It blew my mind that they took him at number six overall.
Right. Well, I think it blew a lot of people's minds. Because in reality, they should have taken the QB from Ohio State that high.
Well, I will
if they were going to go anywhere.
To Daniel Jones' defense, he's looked pretty good in the preseason. Whether or not that translates into the regular season, I think Eli will probably start until they find out that they might be one of the worst teams ever to hit the National Football League stage. But I guess we'll find out a little further in the season. Maybe that's a little bit of a bold call for me, but I don't think it's that bold.
Isn't it amazing that the two primary New York football teams and the two primary New York basketball teams are the first historic team in both the Knicks and the Giants could be the worst in both of their leagues, and the Nets and the Jets could be surprise teams.
Yeah, I'm liking what I'm seeing from the Jets, and I think
I'm
high on Le'Veon just like you are, Jeff. And
yeah, so I'm going to take him. I'm telling you guys right now, depending what my pick is, do you know what pick I am yet?
So we're waiting on Aldo's son-in-law's brother to join the league, and then I can finalize draft order. So
Okay, because I'm telling you, at five or six, if I have the fifth or sixth or seventh pick, I got to go with Le'Veon Bell. They're paying him a fortune. It's the star they haven't had in ages, and I'm going to go with him.
Yeah, man. I'm a fan of Le'Veon for sure.
Yeah, since he screwed me last year.
Well, hopefully hopefully he survives.
Hopefully he'll make up to me. Apologize to me.
Well, he apologized at the start of the season to all the fantasy owners on Instagram saying he's going to bring a championship.
Yes,
so
he did.
Let's hope he pays out that debt real quick. And, you know, fantasy drafts are interesting. We talked a little bit about quarterbacks and where you take them. I think the sweet spot is like round six or seven. It's so deep this year. A guy like Matt Ryan's going late. A guy like Cam Newton's going late. Are you guys early adopters of quarterbacks, or do you like taking them later on? Tooch, what's your way of handling the quarterback situation?
Well, I like to wait a little bit, Joe. Now, you can get guys like Kirk Cousins in the double-digit rounds. And
no thanks.
He had 606 attempts last year, 30 touchdowns, and he's got weapons. So,
and he's got a better offense this year around.
Yeah, if you've got Kirk Cousins as your number two quarterback, you're doing pretty good. You know, you can get Jared Goff, Roethlisberger late. It depends on how the draft falls. A guy like Matt Ryan, who's got 13 games in a dome, I might target a little early. With Mahomes, I think the price is a little high. I think he's going to regress. Like I said last show, Joe, I think you're going to find that defenses have found a way to stop him. You know, he's still going to rack up.
And by the way, regressing might take him from 50 to 40, and nobody else is going to have 40.
And nobody else will be close.
Right.
But is he worth a third-round pick where you can get your number two running back or number two wide receiver or one of the stud tight ends?
And
I don't know.
And I love Mahomes as much as the next guy, but I'm not paying that price personally. But, guys, we do have a draft strategy question in the chat room, so let's jump on this. John Kesick III wants to know, I have the first pick in a 10-man league, which is great, but I don't know what to do with it. Do I stock up on running backs on my second and third pick, or do I go with an elite wide receiver? Jeff, what are you doing in that situation?
Well, you heard me earlier. I'm not going to change. Very often that I'll change my mind, especially during the half hour. If I have the first pick, not even – John, I'm telling you, take Barkley. You're not going to go wrong with that. But I also said if I was able to do that, if I could get – I'm looking to give you a name answer here, John. That was his name, right?
Yep, John.
Depending where Hopkins goes, Thomas, Adams, somebody's always going to jump in. I guarantee you, in our first round, somebody's going to take Mahomes. I guarantee you. But if I could have Barkley and then have Todd Gurley or a Nick Chubb and then come on down and have in the third round Josh Jacobs, I'm going to look at all my opponents and say I have Barkley, I have Gurley, and I have Josh Jacobs. Good luck to all of you. If
yeah,
I have
no
to
kidding.
Have second receivers, you know, if I have to have second receivers, so be it. I'll have second receivers. But if I could say, where you asked Tooch the question of draft strategy, I go in knowing what my draft pick is and who do I want, even though somebody could take him. Then I go, like so many people say, especially in the NFL draft, the real draft, best positional player available. That's what I will change my strategy 20 times during the draft because I don't know the people ahead of me or behind me drafting and their draft thoughts and everything else. And I just will change on the run. The best position available is what I'll do. But if I could have three running backs, that's how I start.
Very nice. And Tooch, actually, what are you doing? What are you doing with those other two rounds, second and third?
We talked about this a little bit last time, and I ran an experiment, Joe, where I was the first pick. And what I did, of course, you take Saquon Barkley, and then you've got to wait a little bit. But when you come around and you're on that, you get two picks the next, the bottom of the second and the top of the third. I took Patrick Mahomes, and then you have your choice of a wide receiver who's fairly decent, or the number two tight end like Zach Ertz. So I came away with Saquon Barkley, the number one running back, Patrick Mahomes, the number one quarterback, and the number two tight end. I thought that was a pretty good starting point, you know. And then I went wide receiver, running back until at least the eighth round. After that, just getting best player available. After that,
there you go.
Then. And that built a pretty good roster. I think I was able to get David Montgomery, DJ Moore, some other guys. I can't remember exactly who, but I got some decent players
to fill out.
But that was a great starting point to have the number one running back, number one quarterback, and the number two tight end.
Yeah, that's a great way to start the draft, and it's a great strategy. And, you know, if I'm doing the same thing, what I've done, and I've done a couple of mocks at number one as well, John, and I'm with you. I kind of like that, going with the top quarterback. But my best draft results mocking from number one have come with taking Saquon on the way back around, grabbing the best available wide receiver, which is usually someone in the top tier. I think I ended up with Michael Thomas and Saquon, which is unbelievable for...
Oh. Yep,
getting that in the wraparound, and then I take the best available running back after that. So I like taking running quarterbacks later. If you're drafting with me, I promise you I'm not taking a quarterback before the fourth round. I'm not going to surprise you, but if I do, then sorry, but it's not going to happen. But I think that's the way to go. Everyone does it differently, but most importantly, getting the first pick is not a death sentence. You know, it's funny that we even have to say that these days because everyone's like, oh, I got the first pick. It's the worst. There's been a lot of good teams drafted number one overall. So I wouldn't worry about it, John, for sure. It's you're going to be just fine.
Yeah, if you do try, you know, as many mock drafts as you can and try and build that your starters with that first pick. Like I said, I was able to get the number one running back and number one quarterback. After that, you can get some number twos, number fives, number fours. You know, wide receivers and running backs, and you can fill out, you know, quarterback, two running backs, two wide receivers, and a tight end pretty quick, you know, with some good picks. So you always have that snake. You've got two picks in a row, so you know you're going to get, you know, at least one of your targets, and then you know, I've got 9 in a 10-man league, so I've been running a lot of simulations on that, and I'm able to. I'm still getting sniped, Joe, once in a while.
But 11 or 12, and that's still good.
Yeah,
the 9th and 12th pick.
9th and 9th and 12th. Yep, exactly.
Oh, yeah, because 10, he has 10 and 11. So I mean, it's just a. Can we draft tonight, guys?
That'd be nice.
But I'm going to tell you, there are, you know, and to talk about the first round, the second round, the third round, the draft is in the knowledge to our people. I threw out some names to Tooch that were ranked 158th and 162, and he knew both players. That's a guy who's dangerous. When you get down there to the no names, the second, the third, sometimes the fourth receiver. You know, a fourth receiver in a team probably will end up starting or playing a lot because one and or two will get hurt. He's going to move up. I'm telling you, the draft strategist going further down the draft list to the 100th player, that's where these games are won.
Absolutely, and some of those positions are really deep. Wide receivers, really deep. You can get a lot of good guys late in the draft. So don't forget about that. Like, there's a lot of scarce positions, like running back and tight end, but quarterback, wide receiver, you're totally fine to wait. And,
yeah,
those
guys could break out, Joe, but usually first-year wide receivers and first-year tight ends, those rookies, they don't really do much in their first years. Tight ends are the hardest. Running back first year, no problem. They're going to produce fantasy points.
It's like being in college.
Yep. Now
they just go in there. It's like they were just in college. Look at Saquon's rookie year. Look at Elliott's rookie year. I mean, these guys, Le'Veon Bell's rookie year, these guys were phenomenal. And it's just such – that's why I love to take 3 of them.
Yeah, you really got to be careful because you're not paying attention during your draft. You look up – there's no running backs left. Right. Then you're really in trouble.
But the thing that I will say to everybody playing, the thing, and I probably, this will be my 38th or 39th season playing. And yes, to all of those people listening out there thinking, oh, he's an idiot. I have won twice in 38 years. Not bad. but the bottom line is I had to love my team. I mean, because at the end of the day, I can't control them on the field.
Amen.
And I want, and that's why I do the running backs first, because I love that position. And the bottom line is I have to love these players. And, you know, if I got players that I don't know, that I don't love, okay. Winning, I can't control. I'm not Tooch. I can't control winning.
Oh, yeah.
Tooch, you are my mind hunter. I mean, I'm still worried about what my team name is going to be. But the bottom line here, okay, do you guys remember when you first started playing what your first team name was?
I do, yeah.
What was your first team, Joe?
My first team name was the College Punks.
Tooch?
I got no idea. I'm only a couple years younger than Spaceball.
My first one was I always had to have a logo. I always had to have fun because anybody who knows me, including Aldo, our founder, it's all about marketing. And I had a logo of the Russian Soviet flag that said CCCP. You know, how
nice.
Their flag has those words. And it stood for Cook County Couch Potatoes.
Oh, love it.
CCCP. My first name was the Cook County Couch Potatoes. And,
very nice.
I mean, there were no computers then. It was just a whole different way of playing this sport. These kids don't know. You kids, Tooch understands it. When you have, you know, I was once, when I was with Fox Sports, they did a draft. Did you guys ever do where it's a phone call, and then you're called when it's your turn?
No, I've never done a draft like that. That sounds like it'd be fun.
Wow, that'd be cool.
No, it isn't, because if the one guy is out of town or whatever, it takes you, it might take 10 hours, and if you're behind that person, you're going crazy.
I remember that, yeah. Before the internet, we used to have to call. Right, either get together or call.
Well, the most fun thing before the internet was when you used to have live drafts. Guys, I'm going to jump off and let you talk seriously, but let me tell you the greatest draft story of all time for live drafts, and that's why if you have everybody in town to do a live draft is so much fun.
Oh, that's great.
To those who know me, you know, the Bears Barroom people, Mike North and I were both at the Score, and I was the fantasy football guy there, and we had a draft. My brother-in-law was the commissioner. And my brother-in-law did everything, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we had, I talked, may he rest in peace, Doug Buffon, to be in our league.
Oh,
because
nice.
I thought it would help him. Well, I thought it would help him learn. And just not, we had to talk about more than the Bears 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We just had to. And it got him more into it. But my brother-in-law walked in with a life-size, who was that cartoon character in Roger Rabbit? What was her name?
Oh, Jessica Rabbit.
Jessica Rabbit. My brother-in-law walks in with a life-size Jessica Rabbit, you know, like a movie thing, you know, that like, would be in the lobby, holding a sign saying, "Go, Dougie, go." I had to talk Doug into staying there because my brother-in-law scared the crap out of him. Who is this guy, Space? Who is he? He's my brother-in-law. I like to have fun, but Space, he's scaring me. What does he mean, go Doggy Doug? You know, just so fun. But live drafts were the greatest things in the world.
I'm with
when
you, man.
When everybody was together. Yeah, it was the most fun. Because draft night is the most fun of the league. It's the only thing you have a little control over.
You do have control over it, and you get the pace going. You're having drinks. You're having some food. You're busting everybody's balls. It's a good time having a draft together.
It is. It's a lot of fun, and if anybody ever has a chance to do it with all of the people in your league, do it. Yeah. I recommend it. It's so much fun. Hey, both of you, Sunday night. It'll be Sunday afternoon for me. All the information to follow our draft next week. Now, Tooch and Joe, give our listeners some good scientific advice because, I don't listen and I don't study. I don't study. I just read headlines. You know, thank God when they came out with headline news. Who needs the whole story? Just give me the headline news. Guys, have a great one. And I say to all the people, may your draft dreams come true. Saquon Barkley.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to go and say Melvin Gordon will not come back to week 9, and Zeke will be signed before the Cowboys' first game.
Yeah, I agree.
There you go. The prediction
but
of the
Melvin
week.
Melvin Gordon will hold out and actually do what Le'Veon Bell should have done last year, come back in the 9th game.
Yep, I'm with you there. I love that prediction.
And why I say the 9th game, that's the halfway. That's where he could get his full season counted for him so he doesn't lose a season like Le'Veon did. But it didn't screw him. But Le'Veon could have got screwed by staying the rookie contract year longer.
No doubt about that. And, Jeff, you know we're going to see you in the draft room. We're ready.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. And right now, guys, I think you know the team name. Spaceballs, the team. That's what I'm leaning towards.
I love it,
man. That's what I'm leaning towards. Guys, have a great night. Talk to you in a few nights.
All right. Sounds good, Jeff.
Take care, guys.
Thanks again for joining us. Jeff Schwartz, everybody. Spaceball.
Right.
Man, one of a kind. Simply the best. We're blessed to have him on the show all the time. Great guy.
I'll suggest a name for him, Kalen Spaceballage.
Oh boy, I like Spaceball. I like Spaceball the team better. But while Spaceball was leaving, we got a couple questions in the chat too.
All right.
So John's asking us some more questions He's talking about auction leagues here. It's been a while since I've done one, but we've had our share. He wants to know, he's in an auction league. I have an option to keep Ebron for $6 and Traquan Smith for $6. Do I take a chance on these two?
He said Dak Prescott, too, for $6.
Yes, also Dak for $6. Yeah. Okay. Out of all those guys, I like Dak the best for $6.
I do, too. I'm intrigued by Traquan Smith. I'd like to see a little bit more. Ebron, for me, is a target for regression. If Jacoby Brissett is the quarterback, I think he's going to regress maybe a little bit more. Ebron, but, you know, he's a good red zone target. Jack Doyle is back, and that's why I think he's a candidate for regression. If you've got another tight end, I'd consider letting Ebron go. Traquan Smith could be intriguing. But
I still think he's a little rich for $6, personally, for Traquan. I think you could probably get him for a lot less.
Yeah, if the Saints are ahead in games, which they likely will be this year, they're not going to throw as much. So for me, Dak Prescott is the keeper out of that. I like Prescott, especially if it's a two quarterback league or a super flex league. Dak Prescott, like we said, Joe, he gets 6-7 rushing touchdowns every year. It's automatic.
He is automatic, and yeah. I like him. I agree. I think you keep Dak and forget about the rest. And he's got one more question about Jimmy Garoppolo. He's asking, is his trash play in the preseason going to drop George Kittle's stock? And the answer is no. I mean, George Kittle is going to get open. He's going to catch balls over the middle, regardless of who's throwing the ball or how they're throwing the ball. Kind of hard not to throw to George Kittle. That's just my two cents. Tooch, what do you think?
Well, I was thinking about this very thing today. You know, after Garoppolo had a bad game preseason, you know, it doesn't matter, but it's concerning. I'm not that enamored with Jimmy Garoppolo, especially when they have some good quarterbacks behind him. You know, that's a thing. Will it affect Kittle? I think Kittle's a candidate for regression. I just don't see him having 1400 yards again, especially now that they have Jalen Hurd and Debo Samuel. So I have Kittle regressing a little bit. I still love him. He's the number two or three tight end for sure. But there's other guys behind him who I think could pass him. And guys like that are O.J. Howard, who averaged 10.6 fantasy points per game last season in limited games, and Hunter Henry, also in limited games. Hunter Henry's got nobody behind him anymore. Phillip Rivers targets a tight end the most.
He does.
And Hunter Henry, you could be talking about him in that Kittle position, you know, at the end of this season.
Very easily you could be. And then another guy, Tooch, and this is, I don't know why, I'm giving everybody the fantasy wisdom. That's what we're all about. But, of course, all the people in my draft are listening. So, sorry, guys. But Jared Cook, tight end in New Orleans now, that's a guy you really want to watch out for. He has the potential to have a 1,000-yard season with easily, you know, 5 to 7 scores, maybe even more. Drew Brees loves his tight end, Tooch. So Jared Cook, to me, has potential to finish in the top 5.
Yeah, Jared Cook, a very good red zone target. Drew Brees, the best red zone passer in the NFL. But Jared Cook, another one of those guys that could slide into that top 5, Joe, at the end of the season.
Yeah, that makes for a very formidable lineup, and tight end's pretty deep, so you don't have to take it too early. If you're going to go early, I have no problem taking Ertz in the second round, but outside of that, I'm waiting on a tight end. And another question in the chat room, Tooch. Now that the Patriots are at full staff at wide receiver, is Tom Brady's stock a little higher than it was before? My answer is yes. Tooch, what do you think?
Absolutely. Right now, they have the preseason easiest schedule against the pass. Number one easiest schedule against the pass is the New England Patriots. Brady, superb value you can get him in the last pick of the draft, for sure.
But I've seen Brady go anywhere from the 9th round all the way to the 12th. So you can get him really late, and that's great value there.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, most people are taking him as their second quarterback, of course, as a backup. But I think he's got a great chance to be one of the top passers now. Last year, he threw the ball 570 times, had 4,355 yards, 29 touchdowns, and 11 interceptions only. So definitely, that was at age 41. What's he going to do at 42? Well, we'll see. I mean, New England has a great offensive line, Joe. They can run the ball. They're going to run the ball a little bit more, so he's probably not going to have the same totals as last year. But, like I said, with Julian Edelman's going to be made better, having Josh Gordon opposite him. Josh Gordon, he could be gone for your lineup at any moment as well, Joe. So I don't know. Josh Gordon, one of those guys. I have this in my notes, actually, Joe. I have a few pointers. Don't draft players with the aroma of injury about them. Avoid the holdout crew. Avoid the head cases. So
there's a lot of those guys, though.
Yeah, some of these guys I just take off of my draft board because I don't want to have a big hole in my lineup. They're not worth the cost. If they drop far enough, like say AJ Green goes to the sixth round, he's sitting there. Yeah, I might pull the trigger.
I've seen AJ last a long time in mock drafts.
Yeah. Ezekiel Elliott goes in the second round. If Ezekiel Elliott falls to me in the second round, I'm pulling the trigger. You know, I got no Todd Gurley in the second round. Those I'll be fine with, but I'm going to get their handcuff. If I'm taking Ezekiel Elliott, I'm going for Tony Pollard in the later rounds. Malcolm Brown, if I've got Todd Gurley in the later rounds. If I end up with Dalvin Cook, I'm taking Alexander Mattison.
Well,
these guys are injury risks.
In the leagues that I drafted Damian Williams to, I picked up Carlos Hyde. I mean, I don't know who the main guy is going to be outside of Williams, but mm-hmm. I feel like they're going to use Hyde in some capacity. So,
well, I think it's going to be Darwin Thompson. He's looked amazing, and Carlos Hyde's still plodding along at 3 yards per carry. Now, Carlos Hyde may get some goal line work, but Darwin Thompson, the rookie, is electric. Boy, he's looking good, Joe. I think he's got a chance to pass Damian Williams, I think. You should wait till the end of the season. We may see a flip-flop. Damian Williams has never done it for a full season. He's had a bit of an injury history. Do I like Damian Williams? Not in the first round. Second round, okay. Not as my first running back, though. I like guys a lot better. I love James Conner. Pittsburgh has the easiest schedule against the run. Baltimore also has an easy schedule against the run.
A guy but being James, slept on.
Nick Chubb has an easy schedule against the run. James Conner, a very underrated receiver, Joe, had over 50 catches last season. Double-digit touchdowns. Very underrated. Pittsburgh can run the ball. Baltimore loves to run the ball. They've got Mark Ingram, and they've got Justice Hill. Watch out for this kid. Joe, Justice Hill could be a name you are hearing about in fantasy circles at the end of this season.
Yeah, another kid you don't want to sleep on is Aaron Jones in Green Bay. He's been very solid, and he's involved in the passing attack and on the ground. So I love Aaron Jones this year, too, so don't sleep on him. But we do, Tooch, have a question from the professor, Ryan Cox, in the chat room. He goes, I can keep two of these two. So he has Godwin, O.J. Howard, Kerryon Johnson, Marlon Mack, and Anthony Miller. He said Godwin, Mack, and Miller would cost me a pick in the last round. Johnson would cost me a ninth rounder, and Howard a tenth rounder. It's a half-point PPR league. Who do you like? Tooch, who do you like out of those?
Well, I love the Buccaneers guys this year. Like, you know, you and I are high on O.J. Howard. He averaged 10.6 fantasy points per game, which made him the number 5 overall tight end. That was in limited games. Chris Godwin, Bruce Arians, I've said this before, Bruce Arians said he will never come off the field. He's going to line up in the slot. Wide receivers who are slot receivers are targeted the most in the NFL. Yep. Godwin had 7 touchdowns in limited action last season. He wasn't targeted much. But now in Tampa Bay, Adam Humphries is gone. DeSean Jackson is gone. There is a big void of targets there, Joe. And they're not going to go to Brashad Perriman, who's going to be the third wide receiver. Mike Evans, O.J. Howard, and Chris Godwin. There's almost 200 targets there for those guys. So I love the Buccaneers. I'm going to target the Buccaneers in this draft. I want to get a piece of offenses that are going to have, you know, throw the ball a lot and have good, easy schedules against the run or the pass, depending on which position I pick. But you want a piece of offenses like the Buccaneers, the Falcons, the Rams,
yes, sir,
the Chargers, you know, the Steelers, the 49ers. The 49ers ran the ball 4.9 yards per carry last season, Matt Breida. They've got Tevin Coleman this year. They've got the third easiest schedule against the run. I love the 49ers runners this year. You can get them at a value, so that's something to think about. Just get a piece of those offenses. Cleveland is another one that comes to mind. Green Bay, Minnesota. They've got New Orleans.
I agree, Tuch, and I'm with you. I'm taking those Buccaneers. I'm taking Godwin and Howard, especially because they only cost you a last round pick. So I'm on board with that.
The other guy, Marlon Mack will be good, especially if Andrew Luck's out. They're going to have to lean on the run. So Marlon Mack is going to be, you know, even if Luck does play and he's gimpy, you're going to see Marlon Mack get the ball. And he was a good fantasy running back last year. As long as he stays healthy, I expect Marlon Mack to, he could slip into a running back one. I mean, he's great as a running back two.
For sure. And I'm going to add in a special guest, Tuch.
All right.
Who says he has a very specific fantasy strategy for his draft that gets him in the playoffs every year. And he's joined us now on the line. We've got Steven Zim Zimmerman. Zim, what's going on, brother? And what is this draft strategy you want to tell the world about?
Oh, yeah. Nothing much, guys. I just got off work, and this draft strategy, man, it's hope you can hear me all right. You guys got me coming through good?
Yeah, hey, yes. Zim.
Okay.
Sound great.
Okay, should have been the first thing I asked. Anyway, this draft strategy, I swear, man, it's the perfect thing to get you to the playoffs. I can't help you when you get to the playoffs because I'm one and done every year. But so far, it's worked for me.
Last year, though, right, Joe?
Yeah, Tuch.
Denied.
Yeah, I had an awesome team. I was almost undefeated. Was I undefeated last year till the playoffs? My first game was a playoff loss. First game I lost was the first round of the playoffs. So had an awesome team last year. But, you know, once you get into the playoffs, it's anybody's game.
Yeah, you're absolutely right on that. I mean, the playoffs are a whole different beast when it comes to fantasy, especially if you're playing, you know, 2 weeks rather than the typical 1 week matchup. It completely changes the game. I don't know. Let's see how far this goes back. When did Calvin Johnson retire? Because that's when this strategy first was developed.
What's that, about 4 years now, I think?
Yeah, 4 or 5 years.
Okay, because this goes back to his final season. Because I distinctly remember he carried my team all the way to the playoffs and then laid down and died for the 2 weeks of the playoffs I had. Yeah. Oh, crap. I'm coming through somewhere else. Hold up.
I got
echo happening. My bad.
We got the Zim echo coming from his MixLR app on his phone, probably.
Yeah, yep, exactly.
I've done it before, too. I did it last week. You're trying to interact in the chat room. You forget your volume's on.
Right. That's right. I had it hooked up to the headphones, and then, you know.
Yeah.
So, regardless. All right. So, it's very, very similar to the strategy that you were describing earlier in the show, Joey Two Scoops.
Thank you.
Sir. You know, you wanna stay with your positions in need. You know, those thin positions up front, like you said, running backs, tight ends. They run out faster than you realize. By the fifth round, all of a sudden you're going, where did these guys go? I heard Spaceballs talking about it too.
Yep.
I was sort of in and out there, but I think I caught the gist of that. Regardless, you know what you want to do in the first rounds. Everybody has an idea of what to do in the first rounds. Any seasoned fantasy player knows. You know, you start out with your running backs, then you go to receivers, then you find yourself a mid-grade tight end unless you've grabbed one of the early guys like Ertz, Kelsey, Gronk in years past, guys like that. So then when you get to the later rounds, right, this is what I've done every year. You either want to find sleepers or sure things, and don't waffle on guys.
Yeah. And
this has worked out for me well. This is how I discovered who guys like Devontae Parker,
Kenny Stills.
Kenny Stills, the guy with the Browns is who I'm thinking of. He was with the Dolphins, Jarvis Landry.
Oh, Jarvis, yeah.
Jarvis was a mainstay on my team his first 3 years in the league because nobody knew who he was. And then he goes out and leads the league in receptions, and all of a sudden he's a first, second round pick.
Dilly
right?
Dilly!
So that's it. And when I'm talking sure things, some of these, they're usually older players, right? So when Larry Fitzgerald falls to the 11th, 12th round, you grab him. I don't care if you think there's a better player on the board. Larry Fitzgerald's a sure thing year in and year out. When Greg Olsen falls to the 10th round, I don't care if you've already got two tight ends picked, you grab him. Guys like that. But then when I talk about the sleepers, the flyers, the guys that you say boom or bust, and it's going to bite you sometimes, but more often than not, I promise you it works out if you've done your research.
Tony Pollard.
Yeah, there you go. That's a great one this year. I've got a couple others. I've got Hollywood Brown for the Ravens.
Yeah, there you go.
He seems like a great big time potential.
He's got a foot injury right now, but yeah, I like that right guy. Watch out.
It's those speedy receivers, those guys that you don't think of. What Taylor Gabriel would have been in years past before he woke up the last couple years.
You got John Brown on the Buffalo Bills.
John Brown's a great one. John Ross on the Bengals, another good one. These fast lateral guys that really stretch the field. And then you got to find yourself a backup running back, right? Tariq Cohen was that guy his rookie year for us Bears fans. We all knew who he was. The rest of the league had no idea.
Right.
This year, Mike Davis is going to fill a similar role like that. I like I shouldn't tell you guys this because we're drafting on Sunday, but I like Chase Edmonds a lot. He's the backup to David Johnson down in Arizona. He's 5'9". He's going to play a Tariq Cohen-like role this year for the Cardinals. So I've talked enough. You guys, let me know some stuff that you're thinking and give some other great tips.
Well, we got the Zim drops of wisdom here, man. His draft strategy, it's going to pay off well for him when he drafts against us on Sunday. I guarantee you that. But yeah, someone in the chat room mentioned James White. He's a guy that I'm really liking a lot. James White, for as many times as people forget, James White finished, I believe, in the top 5 in fantasy running backs last year.
Top 10, yeah. He was number 10 overall, Joe.
Yeah, in PPR. Yeah,
he's
PPR
the quintessential
leagues.
Third running back that you can fit in as your second running back. But yeah, I love James White. Another guy to watch out for on the Ravens, Zims, is Miles Boykin. He's also a rookie. And, of course, Joe, they have Joe Horn Jr. Remember Joe Horn? He used to play on the Saints?
Yeah.
Joe Horn Jr.
It's his son, huh?
And Chris Moore, also another name to watch on that Ravens. But we'll see how Lamar Jackson does throwing the ball. They have a great matchup against the run, though.
Well, and there's a lot of sleepers to be found across the entire league.
Yeah.
And I don't think – and we talked a little bit about Josh Gordon earlier. I think people are sleeping on him a little bit too much. I think he's going to be a big part of that New England offense.
Yeah.
So you can get him pretty late. Although Yahoo moved him up in the rankings now, I think he's inside like the top 75. So if you're doing a Yahoo draft, he's going to default to the top. So you're not going to get him as early going forward.
Right.
And then you're looking at guys at quarterback. Like I think a Kyler Murray is a great sleeper quarterback. He's a guy that's going to use his feet. He's going to use his arm. You know, especially if you have a keeper league where you can keep a guy in a later rounds. Kyler Murray is going to be active this year, and he's going to get you a lot of fantasy points. He might get banged up, but he's going to get you some points.
Yeah, they the Cardinals have a pretty good schedule against the pass. Pretty easy schedule against the pass. The number 2 matchup against the pass. So Kyler Murray, of course, he had a good game the first preseason game, and his average draft position skyrocketed. And then they had laid a bit of a stinker in that second game. Now he's like people are laying off of him in mock drafts. But yeah, I don't know. I think he's a number 2 quarterback for me. I've got to see it first. By all accounts, they're going to throw the ball a ton. So, but I got one last tip, Joe.
What do you got?
This is something I do. Of course, I put together my target draft board of guys that I want and what rounds I think they're going to be in. And my tip is don't be afraid to pull the trigger early to get the guy you want. So you have to watch the people next to you, see who they take, and then you can decide whether or not you can get him in that round. Because if I'm going for a tight end in round 6, I need to know whether or not the guys around me have already taken their tight end. So I'll be looking around round 5, round 4, around what's going, at least round 5.
Yeah.
And then be looking for who took a tight end around me. But don't be afraid to pull that trigger, Joe, to get your targets. I mean, I'd love to have Adam Thielen as my number two wide receiver. He's just chewing up preseason again. Yeah, he looks great. No wasted steps. There's running backs out there who look great, like David Montgomery you saw look great. And his ADP skyrocketed. Now it's like,
yeah, he's in the fourth, middle of the fourth round.
Yeah, people are pulling the trigger on him in the third.
So, although in our league, he'll probably go in the first round by Zim.
I took him third round.
Yeah, somebody will target him. Yeah, I think he'd make a fine number two running back. But you got to remember, he's got Mike Davis and Tariq Cohen also there. Cohen's going to get some play. He's going to get some eat into the receptions.
Yeah, he's a wide receiver, though, really.
Mike Davis, an awful good receiver as well. So Mike Davis is going to get probably 5 to 10 plays a game. Tariq Cohen's going to get his 10 to 15 touches, you know. And if you're lucky, David Montgomery's going to get 20. So right. We'll see.
Well, it's just a matter of what you do with them. But
it's the goal line carries that's going to make Montgomery a little more valuable, because he's probably going to get the lion's share of goal line carries.
Well, we'll find out real quick. We haven't seen it during the preseason, and we're going to find out week one against the Packers. But my other running back sleeper, John, you talked about him a little bit earlier, Matt Breida for the 49ers. I think if you are looking at a running back that's not being drafted, I've done a bunch of 12-team mock drafts, and Matt Breida has not been drafted in any of them. I think he's a guy you look at in the last round, second to last round.
Yeah.
Because I think he's got value. And I mean, just look what he did last year. I mean, he led the league in rushing for a while last year. So yep. Don't sleep on a guy like that. That's great value. So that's my sleeper pick. Zim, do you got one last sleeper pick for the road?
You know, I got a weird one for you guys, because I truly believe he's going to end up on a roster before this preseason's over. And that's Matt Bryant as a kicker. It sounds crazy. It's out there. But I picked him up because I think the odds of him being on a roster are greater than him not at this point. There's too many teams that need kickers.
I may not even draft a kicker in this draft, Joe. Like I said, I'll just drop somebody before the season and pick up a kicker. I don't value kickers that much, but I'd rather take a stab on a running back or wide receiver and then come back. I might not even draft a defense. Last year I had one team I streamed defenses. I think it was the Barroom League, Joe. I streamed defenses all season and made it to the championship game. So you can do that as well. You can stream tight ends all season long too. Obviously,
you can.
You know, if you're not getting those top three guys, top five guys, you know, you might as well just play the matchups.
I like taking my defense in the second to last round. if you want a top defense, you're going to have to go early, like Tuch said, seventh, maybe eighth round. And as much as I love the Chicago Bears defense, they're really good. They have one of the toughest schedules in the league this year. So I'm just not comfortable investing that early of a pick. As much as I am a Bears fan, it's just tough for me to do an early pick on them in fantasy. So that's kind of where I stand. I'll take whoever's there in the second to last round.
I've got some sleepers, Joe, if you want, in the wide receiver position. I think Amari Cooper I'm not targeting. He's got plantar fasciitis.
He's out week one, by the way. Breaking news.
I'm telling you right now, pick up Michael Gallup. Michael Gallup will be the number one wide receiver in Dallas. He's looked fantastic in camp. Amari Cooper, if anybody's had plantar fasciitis, it's like agony. You feel like the worst ever. It's like walking on glass. Your life is miserable. So I'm not even targeting Amari Cooper. I'm looking at other guys on Dallas. And I would take a look at Michael Gallup. He's in his second year. I think he could really make some noise. Another guy I like is Dede Westbrook. He's also in his second year, Joe. And he's going to be the number one wide receiver in Jacksonville. You know Jacksonville's got Nick Foles and Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette, nobody behind him. I expect Fournette, as long as he stays healthy, to have a pretty good season. He's going late second round, maybe early third, Joe.
He's going late, man. He's a guy that I'm
A shame, because this is a guy who could end up top five if his head is together and he's healthy, because there's nothing around him.
Did you guys see that video? Go ahead.
There's two rookies behind him, Joe. mean, you're going to have to probably draft as handcuff, but man, this is a guy 1,200 yards and 12 touchdowns. You know, he's not a bad receiver either. But Nick Foles loves to target the slot, and Dede Westbrook's going to line up in the slot a lot.
Did you see that video of Fournette doing that crazy action game on Instagram? I don't even know what you call it.
Best shape he's ever been in, too.
Did you see that, though? Look it up on Instagram, or it's on Facebook. He's doing like this reaction game with another player, and he seriously looks like the most insane person I've ever seen in my life. So go watch that video. It'll make you laugh and be like, what the heck is Leonard Fournette doing these days?
Yeah,
I'll have to send it to you guys on Twitter.
Definitely.
But, we covered a lot of stuff today, guys. We went from draft strategy to fantasy team names to where do you take your defense? What do you do in the first couple rounds? So we gave you all the nuggets of wisdom that you need to take it to that fantasy draft, which most drafts are this weekend, like Tooch said earlier. And we have one of our Bears Barroom League's drafts this weekend, as well as the Goon League. So we're going to have a lot to talk about next week. Jeff Schwartz will be back. He'll Sunday? Probably complete. Yeah, the Barroom League is on Sunday, yes.
Sunday at what time?
I believe it's at 7 Central on Sunday.
7 o'clock, okay. I will be there. I wish we were doing it at Soldier Field again, Joe.
Yeah, I wish we were too.
I mean, they had the whole draft board where you could knock the right players' names down that they're already gone and stuff on the wall, and beer, pizza, a great view of Soldier Field, the skybox.
Yes, Chicago Tribune, if you're listening, please bring back your fantasy draft party next year. It was fantastic 2 years ago, and we really miss not having it this year. So if you're listening, please consider bringing them back. It was a good time had by all.
I wanted to ask a question, Joe, quick before we leave. I know you got to get to Shy Fans in the Stands, but the
<You're right.
laughs> Sleeper app, I haven't checked it out. It's called Sleeper, and it's supposedly the best thing for fantasy football. I don't know. Have you checked it out yet?
One of the members of the Goon League asked me if we were going to have our league on Sleeper this year.
Yeah, it's probably too late for us to do that. But,
it's too late.
I would really love to check it out sometime. I don't know anything about it. I heard it's awesome, though. I just wondered if you taken a look at it, or has Zim taken a look at it?
I will make a point to look at it this week.
No, I've not looked at it yet, but it sounds interesting.
Right.
We'll take a look at it. Maybe it'll be a point of conversation for next week's show.
Yeah.
But as always, thanks to everybody for tuning in to the Fantasy Football Goon podcast. Thanks to our guest, Jeff Schwartz, Spaceball, fantastic as always. And thank you to Steve Zimmerman, for stopping by the show. We always appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me on.
Zim, you're in the Barroom League, right?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, cool. So we'll see you Sunday.
Absolutely. 14-man league. We've never done it. So we're going to have
I'm excited, man. You got to go deep.
We're going balls deep, right?
You got to go deep. You got to pull the trigger early because 14 guys picking.
Well, it's going to be fun. So we'll have a lot of draft stories next week. We'll have a lot of more insight to help you if you're having a late draft. I know a lot of people draft on Labor Day. So if that's you, we're going to have a lot of stories for you next week. So you're not going to want to miss the show.
Right.
Thanks to Aldo and Bears Barroom and everyone that lets us do what we do. And Tooch, I have a special song to close out the show today instead of our usual. The way we always finish the show is God Bless America, God Bless Football, and let's kick some ass.
Let me be your hero.
Will you be my hero, Tooch? And now for our regularly scheduled ending.
So long, farewell, our leaders and good night.
I hate to go and leave this pretty sight.